Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Nothing really pressing, but I thought this story was interesting. We were going to get to it yesterday, but it was very last minute, so we moved it over to today. Steve Ballmer spent $400 million in straight cash. He is aiming to build his own arena, and the Clippers beat writer Andrew Greif, formerly of the Oregonian, registered guard. He's covering the Clippers for the LA Times. He joins us now. Andrew, first of all, it's good to hear from you. How you been?
Hi, and good to hear from you guys as well. We are doing fine down here. We're healthy. We feel very lucky to be able to say that. So staying at home and staying safe.
Yeah, that's good to hear, man. All right, we'll start with the $400 million purchase. What, for the people who maybe haven't followed this story, what did spending $400 million on buying the Forum, what does that mean for Steve Ballmer and the Clippers?
It bought him an arena, but not the one he actually wants. So I guess what that means is, He wants to build, and the Clippers have wanted to build, a new basketball arena in Inglewood, just east of LAX Airport, for about 3 years now. And ever since they kind of announced those plans, the owners of the Forum, Madison Square Garden Company, whose chief executive is James Dolan, the Knicks owner, they have put up an enormous legal fight to block that construction because they paid, you know, close to $100 million to renovate the Forum when they bought it in 2012 to make it this top tier concert venue. It's not suitable to hold an NBA game or an NHL game, mm-hmm. but it's a really, it's a place that a lot of people go to watch top acts play. So they viewed that as direct competition. And they also felt that the city of Inglewood had kind of misled them to give up some land that ended up becoming part of the land that Ballmer wanted to use to build his new stadium on. So you can see why MSU was upset. They've been fighting for 3 years now. One person told me that the legal fees for both sides have totaled sometimes in millions of dollars per month. Wow. So this has been pretty nasty. And essentially, by buying the Forum, the most important part was that for Ballmer, it ends all the litigation surrounding the arena stuff. So all of MSG's lawsuits are basically all resolved because of this. So It basically paves the way for the new arena to be built. There's still some hurdles to be done, but it basically takes away the biggest obstacle, it's such a thorny opponent of the project, out of the way.
Mm. How much was the $400 million range? Was that kind of what was expected, or did he like grossly overpay just to get all this over with? Like, what were people expecting it to go for?
This was story was kind of first put on the radar early in March, and at that time I have not covered the arena extensively. We have someone else who's done that a very good job of that, Nathan Fenno here at the Times. But I made some calls, and there was like not really this indication of what it could go for, because the Forum was bought by MSG in 2012 for $23 million, and then they supposedly put in $100 million of renovations into it. So, you know, it's quite a bit more than $123 million. So that's, again, there was no range of what people thought was feasible, but this is a huge number, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Andrew Greif, LA Times, is our guest, covers the Clippers as they're looking to get their own arena, get out of Staples. You know, in the department of maybe getting you back to the Pacific Northwest or maybe even a different city, not to push you there, but I just want to pick your brain on this. For all the money he is spending just to get to an area where he can build an arena, and then that's going to cost even more, and then he spent a couple billion for the team, does it make maybe financially more sense for him to go to a Seattle or Las Vegas with his team, or does it make a lot of sense to stay in L.A., kind of always accept that you're going to be in the back seat to the Lakers and hope that you can win a championship that way and stay in the L.A. market? What's your thought on that?
Ballmer, you know, he's extremely competitive. I'm sure you've seen the videos of him cheering at games. That's kind of the way he always is. So I think that, you know, a lot of people basically accept that this is a Lakers town. I'm not sure that he's one of them, to be frank. He probably thinks that if they can get a winning team now and win a title, or string together maybe a couple, that maybe they can flip like the next generation of fans, who otherwise would be Lakers fans. I think that's what they really think, because they've been doing a lot of community efforts down here, like giving out backpacks to pretty much every kid in the LA school district. They've been, I think, they've renovated like every single public basketball court in LA, mm-hmm. and like putting the LA Clippers logo on it. So they want to be seen as kind of like a community partner, a do-gooder in the community. So they're definitely angling for kind of like a certain segment of the population. But frankly, I think that what is probably most appealing for staying in LA, and Ballmer has always said, he reiterated it last July to me, that we are definitely staying in LA, is that it's a 20 million people plus here. So it's a huge market. There are so many teams, I realize that, but it's a huge market. And if you have even a share of that, it's probably bigger than some other entire market if you had it all to yourself.
Right. Well, I feel like the last big NBA game, too, that I watched was that Laker-Clipper game, which was supposed to be a home game for the Clippers, but it sounded and looked on TV more like a home game for the Lakers. So just how much does this new arena help in that kind of case? Or do you think the same thing, at least in the short term, will follow them if they get this new stadium built?
That's something I really hadn't considered, you know, because they'll have you'd think they'd have a more of a kind of a Clippers base buying season tickets there. Maybe not as much overlap with Lakers fans. I know I not sound like a broken record, but it's having come to the LA from Northwest and not having ties down here. It is really remarkable how many Lakers fans are here, just how much that organization is just part of the daily life for so many Californians. So I don't really know that it's going away anytime soon, mm-hmm. but the real reason that they really want their own arena is because, you know, as Staples Center, that long ago when it opened in 1999, the Clippers basically waited until the very, very, very last moment to decide that they would actually want to play their games there. So that left them as the third tenant behind the Kings and the Lakers. So essentially they play a lot of afternoon weekend games or games on Monday nights during the football season, time slots that are not very attractive. So they want to get away from those and basically free up what are considered, you know, more valuable, more lucrative time slots.
Yeah. This is Andrew Greif, LA Times, our guest, Clipper beat writer. This might be a tough question. I don't know if you've dove into this one yet. If you have, then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. We were just talking about how weird this is, shutting sports down momentarily for the coronavirus. And look, we don't know when any league is going to return, but assume you get to that point. And let's say hypothetically, the NBA just says, no, we're going to scrap it. We don't have the time. We can't come back. We'll just come back and start our next season and call the season what it was, a postponement, a cancellation, what have you. Does this year count contractually, or do you think teams and players are going to end up fighting over that kind of stuff?
It's not my question I've asked directly, but I don't see why it wouldn't count contractually. You know, they've played more than half the regular season games already. I would have to think, you know, one of our reporters in baseball wrote a story today that there's a idea on the table between the MLB and the MLB Players Union that if you played a full season in 2019 in the MLB, that 2020 would count as a year of service. Mm. So, I mean, there's some talks in other leagues that if a game isn't even played in baseball, that it would count. So that's why I would have to think this one would absolutely count as as a year that will, you know, essentially for Kawhi and PG, who can opt out after next season,
right.
It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask, because you talk about being competitive, right? And they gave so many assets away to go get Paul George that if they don't come back, this is 1 year squandered. They may only have 1 year. What's your best guess on that? Like, if this season is done and it counts as service and then they have 1 year before they can opt out, the pressure's got to be really building for the Clippers to win it next year, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this was always going to be a tight window because I don't think not many people I've talked to ever think that Clippers are doing a bad job with those two superstars by any means, but you just never know, clearly, in the league. So, of course, they want to win. They're under pressure to win right now. So, if not now, if the season doesn't get restarted, then absolutely next year becomes the must-win season because, again, you just can't take for granted that they would resign. They are LA guys. I just don't know why. From those guys, the organization really does a lot for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very comfortable place for them to be in that regard. But you just can't take for granted they would resign.
Yeah. Well, you look at some of the comments from like Mark Cuban recently. He's been very optimistic. People are floating ideas on how the season's going to end or how it should end or can it end. And nobody knows how this is all going to play out in the coming weeks. I'm just curious what like basketball folks in LA are thinking. Are they more positive? Are they more negative of are we going to get a season in? If we do, what does it look like? Kind of what's the chatter like down there?
I would say it's a pretty healthy mix between pessimism and optimism. You know, the fact is that you're going to have to build in basically a new training camp before you restart the season, if it isn't very soon, because players are unable to work out in team facilities. You know, some guys have baskets at their house, but not really many. So, I mean, you're looking at guys who, in a lot of cases, won't be able to shoot a basketball for potentially several months. So there's going to be this build-up time, and I think that scares some people that it's like, okay, once you've done that for who knows, 2 or 3 weeks, then you start the season. It's like, what are we really talking about here? But there is so much money to be lost that you know why the league wants to get the season up and running somehow. Even if that means at first the fans aren't in the stands, at least they can be broadcast. They can recoup some revenue that way. There's a strong incentive for the season to get going. I just, you know, the way the virus seems to be spreading across the country and the mitigation efforts, it is something that I wonder all the time. Are we really going to see another basketball season?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, man. It's a strange time. But Andrew Greif doing a great job for the LA Times, covering the LA Clippers. Steve Ballmer takes one step forward to building his own arena and getting out of that shadow with the Lakers trying to take over the city. You can find Andrew on Twitter at Andrew Greif, formerly, of course, of the Oregonian, the Register Guard. Andrew, your coverage has been great, man. It's been good to follow you and get the info on the Clippers and just seeing how well you're doing down there. So thanks for coming on. We appreciate catching up with you, and I'm sure we'll talk down the road.
I hope so. I hope we can talk about basketball sometime soon.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.